Beck Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 3:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mary Urena. It's time to return to the theaters.
Thank you, Mary. You and I were just talking about one of your favorites, a musical experience.
Yes, Pro Music and Chamber Orchestra. Shameless plug.
Yeah, and they've been outdoors.
They have been.
Yeah, so and that's successful. And I've been indoors, including Tenet. And it's just wonderful to be back, that's all.
It is wonderful, and it had that, it's familiar but strange and new feeling.
Yes.
I went and saw it at AMC Dublin, and I researched ahead in terms of not about the movie, but about going back into the
yes,
theater.
Yes, of course.
And felt confident in the steps that they were taking to ensure a
me
clean
too.
Environment.
Yeah.
And it helped that only six people were in the theater.
Me too.
When I saw this
film. I know,
I know. I did recruit a friend to help me be a little more brave. She came with me. And we both felt that we would go back into the theater.
Yes, me too.
Again. And it was interesting with this film, if you've watched the trailer, and I know you've seen it.
Yeah, we're talking about Tenet now.
Yes, Tenet. All six of us in the theater purchased our seats in the back two rows.
Okay, now you didn't have the Dolby experience, the Dolby theater. It was just the regular theater?
It was just the regular
okay.
theater. And I'm grateful that I didn't have the Dolby experience.
Okay, all right, yes.
I found the soundtrack to be rather overbearing.
Did you think you missed a little bit of dialogue?
Absolutely.
And they had people wearing masks and so on in the film. And that adds to my frustration.
Part of it was very frustrating.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
But I just thought it was interesting that people who had seen the trailer and knew to expect from a Christopher Nolan film that it would be tremendous special effects, that you didn't want to be too close to the screen because you want to be able to see everything happening at once without having to move your head. And you certainly could at the back of the theater.
Well, in the Dolby experience, which is now my favorite way of watching a movie, it just rocks the seat, the sound. So you have to be ready and accept it. And I've said in my written review that I think Nolan is showing off.
He's showing off, and I also think he needed an editor because apparently this story had been in his brain for 10 years and he had worked on it seriously for 6 to 7, and I felt like he threw every idea he had ever had in his head into this script.
Yes.
And for me, it was very convoluted and no character development whatsoever.
No. And for me, while it certainly was visually and orally enjoyable, when I have a plot that is so screwed around that I lose concentration on the film, I'm trying to, and really you shouldn't. One of the characters says, don't try to understand, just feel it.
Yes.
You know, about something in the film, which is exactly what you should do with this. Please don't try to put it all together. I think even Nolan probably would say, well, I don't really know what it's about, but we do know he loves to play with time.
He loves to play with time. He loves to play with, I think, people's perception of time and
yes.
perception of their memories. He came on the scene with the film Memento, which is completely about human memory and a film that I loved. So this film, I don't think it tried to capture that same magic. I think it was more in the line of Inception.
Exactly.
Without a plot that you could kind of wrap everything you were experiencing around, and without character development to the point that there are things that are happening in the film that you don't understand why that character would do that thing.
Sure.
Because and the lead character played by John David Washington doesn't even have a name, which I didn't even realize. Until the end, they referred to him
as the protagonist,
and it's listed in the credits that way.
Mary, this is just another one, something else that Nolan throws against the wall to see if it sticks. You know, and it's heavy-handed allegory.
Very heavy-handed.
I know. And Washington, who is the son of Denzel Washington, yeah. It'd be a disservice to him to try to compare him with his dad. We shouldn't do that.
We shouldn't. And he's had a successful career on his own in terms of not only starting out as a professional football player, but then switching to acting after a few childhood stints
very
in some
good.
Of his father's films. He also had a very successful run on the HBO series Ballers.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah. In this, he lacks a little bit of the charisma that I had hoped I would see, and that I thought Nolan would try to replicate from all the Bond films. And he just was a little bit understated, which I'm sure he was coached to do by Nolan.
I would agree. I think he was more directed that way.
Yes,
The fact that the character doesn't have a name, they don't establish any backstory. In fact, I was confused as to who in this spy thriller he actually worked for. Apparently the intention is it's the CIA.
Exactly. And I'm wonderful that you thought that. It's the same thing. So in my review, before I'd really explored it, I just said he was some kind of a international spy or whatever. You know, because I hadn't. And then I read some and they said it was ex-CIA. So somewhere it must be. But
well, we wouldn't know that because the dialogue in the film is often overshadowed by the sound effects.
Oh, Mary.
Especially the scene on these souped-up racing yachts that I don't actually think exist in the world.
Something like a super catamaran or something or whatever they had.
Yeah, they're supposed to be racing yachts.
Yeah.
I don't think they actually function the way that they show them functioning.
Certainly effective in the James Bond Bourne motif, having these.
True.
But boy, if you challenge it, where does it belong in the plot? It doesn't.
It doesn't. And there's many scenes that are very, I felt were very contrived just to show the special effects.
I know.
As opposed to moving the story along and help and drawing you into the puzzle.
Oh,
I think the intent was it's because it's a very mental trying to figure things out. Where are you in time? Where are you in space? Where are you with these characters? Where are they? And the contrivances of some of the scenes I thought were very over the top, very heavy handed.
Sure.
And didn't help you.
Yeah.
Except to get to see whatever great special effect that they wanted you to see.
Well, here, of course, we're being very Christopher Nolan-ish. We haven't even given a thumbnail sketch of the plot.
I wouldn't know where to begin.
I just think he's an operative CIA agent who's supposed to stop World War III. And he has to stop one of my favorite actors, Kenneth Branagh. Just enjoying the heck out of himself playing the very bad oligarch.
He did. With the typical cinematic, very young wife.
Oh, I know. Yes, the trophy wife.
Trophy wife.
Elizabeth Debicki.
Yeah, Elizabeth Debicki, who's an Australian actress who is 6'3" tall.
She's amazing.
And she is very good in the role that she is given. But again, I think the reason for that is because what little character development there is expressed through her character, Kat.
Yes.
And that was one of the redeeming qualities of the film,
yeah,
I felt.
Yeah. Although she ends up playing a pretty stereotypical role of the trophy wife. I thought that she, you know, she, exactly, she is dominant, but I wanted even much more than she was. And I began to feel it devolving into her damsel in distress. It's too many times for me. I didn't want that.
Yeah, she is portrayed that way, but then she's also portrayed at instances as being very strong, being able to break free and be part of that process herself instead of relying on others.
Yeah. Going nose to nose with her husband.
You know, the thing about the plot is that wasn't even clear to me in terms of stopping World War III, because as the story unfolds, it's about the future and an algorithm that's been created in the future that is represented in these very apocalyptic looking pieces of machinery that are a key hidden in 9 spots in the past. that if they're brought together could bring about the destruction
yes.
of the world in that time, which to me, there was no tension as to stopping World War III.
No, it didn't.
I mean, where does yeah. that fit it, in? Because they never refer to any governments wanting right. to go to war, any elements of tension that would lead to a war. And it just was really
well, my
bizarre.
Impression was it began to center on this Bondian bad guy, Bond Branagh, on yeah. Andre, his character Andre,
Satori,
and that
Satori, I think is
yes,
Andre Satori,
right, and that if he died, the world dies, something to that effect. So it became.
But you're not sure, are you?
Oh, no. What I'm here, I'm looking to you for help. But
I wish I could provide
I know,
it.
But I think I could. But. Again, yes, I think, you know, one of the things that I love about Nolan is that he's never short of challenging you, yeah, of challenging you with his plot, with his time play and all that. But I also feel there's an obligation to the audience to give them an enjoyable experience, which is intellectually enjoyable. And it doesn't mean it has to be something like the New York Times puzzle. It just should be something that we can grasp but understand their levels.
I would agree with that, and I also feel that if you're going to introduce this issue of entropy and bending time and
yes.
time travel, that you can't muddy the waters of that concept with everything else that surrounds
Very
this
good,
film.
Right.
I mean, I think if you want the audience to come along with you, you need, I don't want to say dumb it down, but you need to simplify it.
Yes.
If that's going to be the focus of what twists the plot, make that the focus. Don't distract the audience with
exactly,
all these
yeah.
other potential right. pieces of the puzzle.
And those of us who are allegedly smart viewers don't
Which
demand.
I would consider you a smart viewer.
And you
viewer.
Too, right.
Thank you.
And that I don't demand that he just confound me.
Right.
I like it. I like the parts to have a logic to them. And I like to think of the other levels of meaning, I mean, the global experience and what this means for humanity, rather than trying to figure out where this plot is going. You know, why is this bullet coming back at me? You know,
I also thought there was a lot borrowed from, believe it or not, Harry Potter. For instance, the algorithm, all nine pieces which are brought together are then broken into three.
Okay.
Which there are three people are supposed to go in the separate ways. It's very similar to the Deathly Hallows.
Very good. Very good.
And
yes, thank you.
Seeing yourself, your future self seeing your past self, or your past self seeing your future self
yeah.
also is drawn from the Harry Potter series. So I found a little bit, as original as this film could be. I found that some of those themes were borrowed from
oh, yeah.
Harry Potter.
Now, on the lighter side, I was very pleased with the new Batman, Rob Pattinson.
Yes. He plays, again, one of the more developed characters.
Yes.
Not as developed as Cat, but I think they created a little bit of a back
oh, yeah.
image, backstory for him that helped.
He's sartorially splendid, as
yes.
Washington is.
He is. The acting is phenomenal. Even a surprise and much welcomed appearance by Michael Caine.
Oh, who always has to be in a Nolan film, apparently.
Apparently.
And call me sir.
But very enjoyable.
He is wonderful. And don't you just want more of him?
Oh, completely. Completely.
But Pattinson has his hair dusted light, which mm-hmm. looks very good on him, with the splendid suits. And a little bit of a smile now and then. I really liked his character, but as you were implying, I also wanted more. And he was giving much more color than Washington was allowed to give. And so that was delightful. And I'm trying to think of anybody else who appears. Good Lord, there are so many characters.
I will give Christopher Nolan credit. It's a very ethnically diverse cast.
Oh, yes.
Which I very much appreciated. And I also appreciated that one of the key characters they originally imply is a man. It turns out that the lead arms dealer is actually a woman from an Indian actress named Dimple
Yes, so very, very dimple Capadia.
Capadia. Who, early in
good.
Her career,
I'm so glad you brought her up. Yes.
Well, earlier in her career, she did predominantly Hindi films. And then when she got married, she retired from acting. But to see her return to acting in a role that has a strong female leadership quality, I really appreciate it.
She is great. She's so insidious and so magnetic.
Magnetic and... she used that in the character's portrayal to really make you question, is she good or is she bad?
Yes,
which
yes.
side of this equation is she on? And I truly appreciated that.
Besides the many set pieces that he has, the one with the plane, destroying the plane.
Oh.
That's a real plane.
Yes, it is.
747 or something.
Yes.
Again, showing off.
Well, and they'd made a point, I don't know if you caught in the credits, that they filmed this entirely on film. And
yes.
they wanted to make a point that not that they had captured what they did on film.
Yes,
that it wasn't
thank you.
Created by CGI magic.
And you can see this in 70 millimeter.
Yes.
Gateway Film Center has it. And so I'm torn between that experience and my Dolby experience.
choices.
I know. So, Mary... this is, besides my Unhinged with Nobody Else Likes But Me with Russell Crowe, this is really the first, this is the big one. Well, we've been waiting for months.
Waiting for months for a summer blockbuster released in the theaters.
Bringing people back.
And this is a film, because of the incredible special effects, seeing it on a big screen.
Yes.
Is what will impress you, because they are incredibly conceived and executed special effects.
Yes, yes.
On a television flat screen,
oh,
no matter
Mary,
how
you're
big
hurting
it is,
me. Oh.
It would have looked probably cheesy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, this is such a good point. So it would be worth going back, like as you expressed it, carefully going back to see how These theater owners are taking care of this virus. My experience, your experiences, they are very good.
They were very good.
Everybody's masked.
Yes.
You have to go online to get your ticket.
Yes.
And they've got them blocked off.
Yes.
And actually now very few people.
Now's the time to go back,
because
there are very few people taking that step. But I found it to be very safe.
So it's a spy film. And for those of you who can't wait for James Bond in November, this is a little bit of a preview, a different take on it, a smart take on that, and one that will be enjoyable for you if you're not as picky as we are. I mean, but Mary Arena, the film is Tenet, a palindrome, T-E-N-E-T, can be spelled both ways.
And it actually was taken from the Sailor's Square.
Oh,
which you can look up online, as are many of the names and other aspects of the film.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Mary Arena, what grade would you award Tenet?
For the first time ever, I'm giving a film a D.
Oh, all right. Oh, good. Well, let me offset you by giving it a B.
Okay.
And
it's an average film. It's C.
Yes, exactly right. And I'm glad we did, because I am... appreciating the superficial elements of it. And you are dinging it for very much what it deserves to be dinged for, just being a puzzle that's just way too complicated.
And lack of character development.
Yes.
And as a result, lack of story.
Right. Oh, well, I hope Christopher Nolan doesn't hear our show.
I hope he does, because he'll make a better film the next time.
Very good. Back Talk is produced by John DeSando. Listen to the shows on the podcast experience at wcbe.org.